It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. We've got a really cool guest here today. I was talking a little bit before we started the recording, and I'm excited to hear about what he has to say. Well, he's got some cool stories already. There's something about being, having a track record and being in something for a long time, being consistent, as you know, that I talk about on my podcast. And I think from what I'm picking up from this guy, he's pretty consistent. He is the founder, chairman, CEO of Lear Capital. It's a gold, silver, and investment company. And without further ado, let's just welcome him. It's Kevin DeMerrick. Kevin, welcome.
Mark, yeah, thanks for having me on. Look forward to it.
So glad you're here. Listen, you started this thing, I think you said 1997. Why don't you tell us a bit about how it started and what some of the background is in that? That's cool. You've been around a while.
Yeah, we've been around a little while. You know, it's an interesting story because when I first came to California, I came as a banker, an international banker. And so I got a job in Beverly Hills trying to establish these international banks for corporations, mostly for import exportation, where they could issue letters of credit, insurance, things like that. And we needed to capitalize those banks, but it's a little bit different than here in the United States. So we could use different currencies. And back then, as you very well know, there was no euro. So you had the French francs and lira and all sorts of other things.
I remember.
And we had to hedge all that stuff, and it became a real pain in the neck. And someone said, hey, look, why don't we put Kevin in charge? He's all of, 23 years old. Let's get him in charge and figure out if we can do this with some portion in gold. And so I spent about 9 months studying the gold market and what we thought it was going to do and how easy it was going to, hedge it and so on and so forth. And after I got done, I said, wow, this is an incredible opportunity as an investment. Instead of just capitalizing a bank, let me go start a company and, see how it goes. And so, the first 5 years, if you would added it all up, I didn't pocket $100,000. Everything was going back into the company. I barely knew what I was doing and learned a lot. But it's turned out fantastic, I think, for myself and for our investors. They've done well. I've done well. And so I think we're going to do even better with the kind of money printing we're seeing, the government do at this particular point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a choice. I think it's a debt spiral going on. And if you start to learn about money, especially Austrian economics, that the only way out of this is to print more money. And it's going to be more expensive to print more money, and it's going to cost everybody a lot more money, just like it happens in, at the final stages of most fiat money printing operations by most governments, right?
Yeah. Most people don't understand that the government, when they talk about balanced budgets and all these things, it's mathematically impossible for the government to stop printing money. Absolutely mathematically impossible. And people don't get it. But I had a professor give me an example of why it's impossible for the government to stop printing money. And I've always tried to at least explain this example. So if you don't mind, I'll
I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
I'll make you the banker on our island. So we live on an island together with a few other people. You're the banker, and somehow you have all the money on the island, which is 10 shells. So there are only 10 shells on the entire island. You, the banker, has them. I have a business idea. I come to you and I said, Mark, here's my idea. You say, Kevin, that's the greatest idea I've ever heard. I'm going to lend you all 10 shells at 10% interest. I take the shells. I spend them out into the economy to get my business going. And at the end of the year, I've accumulated all those 10 shells back, and I run in and I said, Mark, worked great. Here's the 10 shells, and you foreclose on me. Why? You know why? Because I can't pay you the 10th shell for the interest. You have to print that shell up for me to be able to grab the interest and give it back to you.
Interesting analogy. I like it. Okay.
So the government, so all of the interest that we're paying on the debt and our mortgages and everything, they have to at least expand the money supply large enough to cover it. Otherwise, we couldn't pay it and we all go bankrupt. So it's impossible for them to stop. However, they do it even more than that, right? They take the interest and they said, well, look, we only need $500 billion. Let's print up $1.5 trillion. And that's why we have the inflation and all the other stuff going on. So for everybody that's watching or listening and watching, you can't stop the money printing. It's just, can you control it to a point where we don't have inflation running up at 9% or even 3.5%, which we have now?
And how do you think they're doing controlling it?
They're doing an absolutely horrible job.
Horrible question.
Yeah. You know, the deficit was supposed to be $1 trillion and we're going to be at $2 trillion. I just read a report by 2023, the interest, just the interest, will be $1.5 trillion on the national debt by 2033. So it's not slowing down, it's accelerating, right? My father said, hey, the best way to stop, making the hole deeper is put down the shovel. And they went and got an excavator and said, look, we're going to make the hole bigger and deeper than ever before, or faster than ever before. So I don't think that it's going to stop. And it just sounds like deficits for $1.5 trillion as far as the eye can see.
And what does that mean for the consumer? What does that mean for the, you know, the average business?
Well, you look at energy prices since 2000, up 21-23%, something like that, food prices. So just expect that the government's target of 2% is not, in my opinion, going to be hit anytime soon.
Never.
When inflation comes out of the bottle like this, it's really hard to put back in and get it slowed down without completely crashing the economy. And I don't think they want to, Mark. There's three ways that they can eliminate or help pay down this debt. One, they can default on it. We probably don't want to do that. Number two, they can pay it back. I don't think that's going to happen. Or you can inflate it away. And so that's a pretty good option. Let's just keep everything rolling. We'll inflate the debt, our $33 trillion at this point, down to a reasonable number. And then, you know, it's more manageable. So I think businesses and consumers have to realize, what do we need to do for our wealth or our investing, and how are we going to prepare for that? And higher prices in healthcare and all the basic necessities are probably going to be a lot higher than what we've seen in the past 12 or 15 years.
I think it's coming. We could probably debate economics, the macro environment, for a long time, but I happen to think that the Fed has never been able to control anything. They overreact. They react. They're data driven, they say, but the data is 9 months old and they revise the data. There's no real data that you can believe. Go ahead.
I was going to say, their data reminds me of the guy who was building my house. It was going to be $1 million or something, and it was going to take a year. No, it was $1.5 million and it took 2 years. That's how the government does everything. They have exactly a 100% success rate of messing up those numbers to the downside. They never get that stuff right.
Yeah. And they're doing the same thing now. They're saying, well, we want to get inflation down. First of all, the inflation numbers that they give us are fake, I believe, because I can tell you that my eggs didn't go up, 19%. They went up 300% last year. And meat's not coming back down, and car prices aren't coming back down, and gas prices aren't coming back down. So all the things that matter to me, which is my inflation, that matters to me. Right. And I think that's all, my inflation is a lot higher than 3.1%, which is the growth on top of the other growth that they've had monthly. They've been quoting here for the last, couple of years. But I think that the Fed is, number one, behind the curve. Number two, they have no business touching the curve. And number three, they're actually not even in control. So they're raising rates because the market is raising rates.
Right.
Because the market needs to raise rates to get some equilibrium. You can't just give free things away forever without it seeping into the economy. And so the money is getting more expensive and inflationary and all those other things. But okay, so we agree. I believe that they're actually defaulting. I think that printing your way out of a problem is inflationary, and inflation is a soft default. That's what I think. So
yeah, it's just a huge tax. And it's not just you and I that doesn't trust them. I mean, now you're starting to get this BRICS with, hey, look, you know what? I don't even trust your dollar. So to me, I look for tipping points. I know you manage a lot of money. You look for those kind of things. And when you have 3.2 billion people with those five countries, Brazil, South Africa, China, Russia, India, and they're trying to figure out how to come up with a dollar to overtake the US dollar, they don't trust it either. Who wants to hold a dollar that has that kind of inflation and that kind of money printing? So it's not just us here in the United States, it's people outside the United States that are getting concerned as well.
Well, people in the money business know about it first, if they're astute. But it's countries. You're right. The sovereign wealth funds are selling. Now, China's been selling off the treasuries for a while. So we're getting weakness in the treasury. It's down 60-70% from its 40-year high, which it was a 40-year fake bull market. Now it's imploding. It's just really unbelievable. So by the way, everybody, Kevin just mentioned BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa's in there, Saudi Arabia, Iran are in there now. And what he's talking about is the US dollar being removed as the default currency of the world. So the, if you wanted to buy oil anywhere around the world, it was called the petrodollar, which basically is a fancy term for, hey, if you're going to buy oil, you got to use the dollar. Now they're trying to move away from that. And it's empowering countries like Russia, who aren't using the dollar. In fact, they got eliminated from using the dollar with the when they went to war. And so now they're figuring out an alternative. That's what markets do. They figure out alternatives. And it's probably going to be a slow train wreck.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a slow train wreck. And, they've come up with a real, I think, incredibly fancy way of transferring an enormous amount of wealth if they implement this BRICS currency the way they want to, because they want to back some portion of it with gold. So, Mark, can you imagine if we traded in gold today? The U.S. government runs a $1 trillion deficit on just on the trade deficit.
Yeah.
And if we were using something like real estate, let's say, let's forget about gold and paper dollars, right? But if we were trading real estate between countries, we would be losing $1 trillion in real estate each and every year to the other countries through our trade deficit. And people would, then they would know that it mattered. But when it's paper dollars, it's like Vegas. Hey, I just lost chips. I didn't actually lose real money today.
Yeah.
But you back it by gold, where the United States would have to buy the BRICS currency backed by gold and then send that currency at $1 trillion a clip per year. Your wealth is just being transferred over, because then it's real wealth. Now it's backed by something real. So I think they have a great plan to not only, hey, that we want a more secure, stable type of concern. You can't print out of oblivion because we're going to back it by gold. Every time you print, you need to back it by gold, which is where the way we used to be until 1974. But it's a great way to transfer wealth as well. And what are you seeing central banks do right now? They are buying record amounts of gold. Yep. Last year, record amounts of gold. This year, again, record amounts of gold. So I think there's a sea change going on, and people should pay attention to it.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. And I was just going to ask you a different question, but now that you said that, I want to ask you this question. And that is, if all these sovereign funds are buying gold, if all these countries are loading up on gold, why is the price still kind of languishing? It hasn't really performed well calendar year 2023. Why is that? If there's all this movement, if there's all this irresponsibility on the form of central banks and governments, and there's all this movement towards gold, which means there's a supply-demand issue, which should raise the price. Why is the price still languishing? What do you think? Hey, it's Mark Yeager here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
You know, on the physical side of the market, I would say the price should be much higher. But then you have the future side of the market, which controls the market sometimes. And really, I think that's where we are right now. The physical side of the market has huge amounts of demand, and the paper side of the market has been, holding it down, my personal opinion. And I usually those things resolve themselves by, hey, look, there's just not enough gold or silver to back those contracts. And at some point, somebody's going to have to start raising prices are going the other way on the future side. But about a year and a half ago, you just couldn't get enough silver yet. The silver price was, holding off around $24 an ounce.
Yeah.
But you couldn't get an ounce of silver from the U.S. government for less than $36 or $37 an ounce. So on the physical side, I had to buy it back for, $14 over the spot price of what the spot price was, which is just really the paper market. So I think that's what's going on right now. And I think that the physical prices will, or the paper prices will catch up with where the physical demand is.
Interesting. Do you think that it's affected by the viability of a Bitcoin market, what I call digital gold, for example?
I think some portion. I think younger people, quite frankly, have moved to the Bitcoin. I mean, there are, it doesn't have seemed to have hurt our market a lot. I think it's just another diversification tool. So people are saying, hey, you know, maybe Bitcoin is like a digital gold. We just haven't seen a big loss of, you know, business, in my opinion, from Bitcoin. I actually hold some, so I don't think it's a bad idea. I think, you know, if you want some good diversification, you know, gold, Bitcoin, anything that's, I can't say really tangible, but they can't print into oblivion,
yes,
is probably going to be a good idea, right?
Yeah, we agree on scarce assets. And, you know, Bitcoin has a $21 million cap. They're not going to make any more. And they're already saying that there's probably a million of them lost. So there's a supply and demand issue, which is going to drive the price higher just because there's scarcity. Same with your business, gold, silver, and the other things that you manage, right?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, you bring up the price and people say, well, you know, the gold price hasn't moved. Well, you know, I own stock and it doesn't move for 6, 8, 9, 10, 12 months either. I need to sit around and wait for things to catch up.
Yes.
However, people are really shocked. If you went back to the year 2000, you put $100,000 into the stock market today. Well, when I say the stock market, well, it's the Dow Jones. That would be worth about $325,000 today. So $325,000 today. If you would have put 20% in gold and 80% in the Dow, that's about $385,000 today. So you picked up an extra $60,000 by diversifying 20% in gold. But I think what you and I are talking about, so people are shocked on, you know, with something like that. It's done very, very well.
Sure.
It's just today, tomorrow, the next day, because we have these short-term, you know, expectations. Maybe not, but long-term, it's done very well. So I took a look, my theory, right? I know you managed a lot of money too, and we all have to have our thesis on why the heck are we doing what we're doing. My thesis has been the government's going to print money, and it's probably going to accelerate over time because every nation has done it. So when they start overprinting money, what happens to gold? So I started in 2007. You take the deficit of around, you know, $9.5, $10 million, let's call it. We're at $33 trillion today. So it's increased by 300%.
Sure.
The price of gold in 2007 was $650 an ounce. We're at $1,950, sure, almost 300%. The government's been printing money about 15% annualized. And the price of gold has increased about 15% annualized. I'll take 15% of my money all day long on a very predictable model that says if the government prints money, my money goes up. I'm betting that the government's going to keep printing money.
Well, that's one of the only true things that we know is we know they're going to print money. We know the Fed has done it since 1913. 100 years later, and plus another 10, they're still doing it. They're going to do it in the future. That's a pretty good bet. Now, when you say gold has done well, or the Dow Jones has done well, or even real estate has done well, I'm going to challenge you and ask the question, what do you mean doing well? Isn't that just inflation?
Well, it is inflation, but doing well compared to the other investments. So if the Dow had increased to 325 and I put 20% in gold and I got you to 385, obviously my investment did much better than the Dow. Now, I'm not counting the dividends in there. So there's going to be 2.5 or 2.1, 2.9% dividends, but we're still going to outperform. So it's all relative, right? I mean, they make the charts and hey, real estate did X, the stock market did X, the gold did X. We've done very, very well.
Yes.
It didn't used to be that way. We keep up with the rate of inflation. Now it's shifted to, we keep up with the rate that the government's kind of printing the money and the deficit's going, or the debt's going up. So again, I think that's where people can benefit because, you know, it's not death and taxes anymore. It should be death, taxes, and the government printing money.
Those I was just going to say that, yes.
Right?
So that's interesting. So what can people do? I think the answer is hard assets, right? You probably know, I know, I'll just answer the question. You're going to say hard assets, gold, silver. I would add Bitcoin in there, and not as a hard asset, as a, you know, digital store of value. I look at Bitcoin as an insurance policy in case these things blow up. So it's got some properties of gold, but for me, it's like got more properties of insurance. But What do people do? So tell us a little bit about your business, how it works. What can people do to get involved with you?
Yeah. And, you know, when you bring up, you're probably going to say gold. Yeah. Hey, my thesis is holding up, so I'm just going to stay where I am. I don't think that's going to end. But I own an investment company on real estate, Wilshire Finance Partners. So I am committed to, you know, tangible assets and, sure, and the scarce assets. So it's just not precious metals. I never tell anyone, hey, go out. It's a portion of your investment, what you feel comfortable with based on what's happening. So we are a gold and silver company. It's physical delivery. We physically deliver it to your home for home delivery, or we are authorized to place it into IRAs, 401ks, and things like that. So if somebody has an IRA, they can transfer a portion over to a self-directed IRA. We can place gold in there. And, you know, if people understand what they already want, then great. Just select from our inventory. If not, we'll help them get through the process and help them make the best decisions that we can to diversify their precious metals. I mean, gold looks great right now. Silver looks incredibly inexpensive.
It does.
To what it has been in the future and the demand that we're seeing. So I think a little diversification within the metals would be a good idea as well.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, you're like a brother from another mother. So let me just summarize for everybody who's listening, because I think we agree. You got to get some hard assets, everybody. You've got to be intangible assets. And you've got to be out of things that are declining in value. Okay, that's depreciating assets. And you have to be in things that have the government as the tailwind for appreciation. Now, unfortunately, the appreciation comes from the depreciation of the dollar, the devaluation and the destruction of the dollar. The dollar is still strong around the world, right? It's still needed. I travel a lot, and I was in Turkey last year, and people still wanted the dollar. I'm going to Argentina later this year. They're going to want the dollar down there, but that's not going to be there forever. And I don't know when it's going to end, if it's going to be Thursday or 5 years or 50 years, but it's going to end. It has in the study of 700 different fiat currencies over humanity's age, it just ends. And so companies like yours and people like you are really helping people, you know, get ahead of it.
Yeah. You know, and for us, Mark, I think it's really important for education. You know, a lot of people, this is their first time in. So we have a free gold investors kit that also, you know, talks about silver. We have the tipping report that it goes into the BRICS currency. It goes into what the government's doing with the printing. If people want to get that, I think you have a URL. We have an 800 number. If you want me to give that out, they can give us a phone call.
I think this is a great time to let people know, you know, what they can get, how they can get a hold of you, how they maybe do business with you. I mean, this is people need this, I think.
Sure. So they can give us a phone call. All of it's absolutely free. They can give us a phone call at 800-314-0723, 800-314-0723. And then we made a URL specifically for you. I think you have it. If you want to put it up, it's LearBiz, LearBiz.com/Mark. And if you go there, you fill out the information. And we are going to do something special for the Wealth Architect podcast and you. We are going to also include a $500 credit. It's absolutely free. Just fill out the information or give us a phone call. You're going to have $500 credit in your account immediately that you can use for any of the shipping for the metals. It's obviously valuable, so we need to insure it, so on and so forth. So we're going to cover all that up to $500, or all of your IRA fees, which is typically about $175 to up to about $275 for IRA fees.
Yeah,
I have nothing to do with, but we'll cover those for you with the $500 credit, and that stays in your account. So we'll do that as a special as well.
Great. By the way, you said Lear Biz. It's Lear.biz/Mark. So
yes,
it's Lear.biz. If you're driving and you can't write it down, just remember it's Lear.biz/Mark. And that's the URL to get a hold of that credit. And that sounds really interesting. Kevin, what did I not ask you that I should have asked you? Because I don't know your business.
Yeah, you know, look, I couldn't be a stockbroker. I know that you did much more sophisticated things than I have to, right? I can just look at it's a pure supply and demand. Gold is not that difficult.
No.
It's you print up money and it's going to go up, but where's the best time, right? Sometimes it's overvalued, sometimes it's undervalued. We got to look at those kinds of things. And really it's education. So, you know, it's podcasts like yours that help people understand, here's some alternatives, here's some new ideas. And you and I can talk all day, but you know, if there's nothing like sitting down, getting the information, reading through it, it's going to create a bunch of questions that you need to ask about the business. What's our fees? How do I take delivery? You know, how do I store this stuff?
Sure.
I mean, that's all of the things, all of the kinds of questions that we get, and we put it in the information, and then, you know, people can ask us, you know, all of those questions. So I you know, it's more about the economy and what's going to happen and what's gold price going to do. And then people can find out, hey, is this really something that I feel comfortable with and think will be positive for my portfolio?
Yeah. I, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket, everybody, but you should have some egg in that basket. And maybe it's a golden egg, right? but I can tell you, financial education, you and I completely agree. And I know you appear on Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Show. And, you know, that's important stuff, right? Getting educated financially. Because I don't know about you, Kevin, but I use money every day. And when I use it, I want to know how it works. And right. Most people just, they give up their power in that department. And it's a real shame because we use it every day. We might as well know about it. Even if you want to give up your power, at least be able to manage it and ask some good questions. And so, you know, I think it's very important to be able to drill down into those things. I was just writing an email to my subscribers today. And, you know, I'm a big Bitcoin guy. I'm also a gold guy and a silver guy. And I don't have a lot of gold, frankly, anymore. But I do got a bunch of silver that I'm waiting for. But I was writing an email and I said, you know, when I started finding out about Bitcoin in 2000, and I think it was 2016, I didn't really give it the kind of time that it needed. And then in 2021, I dove into it and I spent more than 125 hours just watching podcasts, videos, taking courses, reading books, listening to experts on it. And I really drilled down. And I think you have to do that with a lot of things in life, unfortunately. You have to really become kind of an expert. And you can do it in a couple hours a day. It doesn't take, you know, forever to kind of be able to have a conversation. But now people ask me about Bitcoin. And I got to tell you, I get tired of explaining it to them because I put in a lot of time to figure out all of the amazing things that it does. And I can't really distill that knowledge down. You probably have the same issue, although gold is probably a little simpler and more traditional, easier to understand, right?
Yeah, it is. Been around a lot longer and just people kind of, you know, understand it. But it's the same, you know, you put in the time.
Yeah.
You know, my car broke down and I had to take an Uber ride home last night. And the guy asked me what I did and I kind of explained it a little bit. And he said, you know, I wish I would have had more financial education because my daughter has 9 credit cards. I told her you just need one and maybe a backup. She has 9. She can't pay them all down. She has no financial education. The school system has, you know, failed everybody past, you know, high school. Yep. To try to learn. And so I just take a different approach. You want to do business with me? Please get my information first because I want you to ask the right questions, right? Just not because Mark and I were on here and you like Mark and you met me for the first time and you think, oh, maybe we'll give him a shot. No, don't do it. Get the information, come up with the questions and you'll feel better about it, right? You make those emotional decisions, it ends in heart attacks and heartaches, right?
No way. Very responsible, Kevin. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right. Listen, everybody, you know how to get a hold of Kevin. And I appreciate your time, Kevin. I appreciate your wisdom as well.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And listen, everybody, you know what I always say at the end of my podcast, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. See you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.
The information you just heard is for education and information. This is not financial advice.